Good morning. Well, here we are today on our very final and concluding week of our four-part fasting series. If you've missed any or you still don't understand fasting and you want to catch up on our sort of series, then go to our podcast. You can get that through iKnow. You can get it through iTunes or any of your podcast services. And we've covered 3 points so far. We've covered fasting to offer ourselves to God, fasting to stand with the poor, fasting to amplify our prayers, and fasting today to grow in holiness. So, just for 1 minute, with a person next to you, could you quickly share, and have you tried fasting? And if you haven't, then what's been stopping you? Where are you feeling resistance? And if you have, how was it for you? So just 1 minute, person next to you, have you tried it? How was it? If you didn't, why not? What's been stopping you? What's been getting in the way? So if you have tried fasting, well done. And if you haven't, there is still time. You have a lifetime to practice it. And for some of you, it might have been really difficult to start with. And can I say, if it's been difficult, keep going. For others of you, you might have had a wonderful time, a sweet time with Jesus. I have to say, when we watched the videos of the fasting series as a house group, as we were preparing for this, John Mark Comer, who's developed this series, said that he found it really difficult to start with, but now it's one of his most sweetest times with Jesus. I haven't had that experience yet. It's still not great for me. Jesus, and becoming more like him is a lifelong process. So over the past few weeks, our house group, who've been piloting, practicing the way, and we've been doing this fasting practice, has shared some fairly honest testimony of the challenges and the benefits that they've experienced while practicing fasting. Now, admission time, personally, I was quite resistant to the idea of fasting. Anybody else can think of it? Anybody join me in that? Just Phil Begg. Oh, Vicky, thank you. One or two others. Either people are really holy or they're not being honest with me. Come on. Now, for me, I wasn't worried about fasting. In fact, I'd done fasting earlier on in my Christian walk. I became a Christian in 2001. And earlier on, I'd done some one-day fasts. I'd done a three-day fast. Hadn't quite made it to a seven-day fast. But for a couple of years, I had regularly fasted on a Monday. So I'd read a lot about fasting. I'd actually devoured lots of Christian books when I was a younger Christian. And it was very clear to me, from all the reading I'd done, that fasting was an important part of Christian spiritual growth. So I'd done it, but I hadn't done it for a while. I knew the power of fasting, but despite this, I was still very resistant to doing it. Now, I didn't mind that I might be hungry. That's fine, I can cope with that. Some of our house group have shared that they had worries or concerns about headaches or about not being well. You know, I didn't have worries or concerns. I wasn't worried. I just didn't want to do it. I was just resistant. I didn't want to change my routine. I was comfortable. I was content. And I didn't have to want to not eat. I enjoy eating. I didn't want to not eat. And I know it's ridiculous, isn't it? But these are the things that get in the way for all of us. And to be honest, as I've been preparing this preach, I've been reflecting on the fact that actually I was thinking on a purely flesh level. I was thinking on a comfort level. And although I tried fasting earlier on in my Christian walk, I'd only got a passing knowledge of fasting. And like some of the house group have mentioned, in fact, all of our house group have said that they hadn't had much teaching on fasting and they hadn't had many sermons on it. So I didn't really have this rich understanding of fasting. So my resistance came from my desire to be comfortable. And generally speaking, I think if we're all honest, most of us want to be comfortable in life. Would you agree? Do you want to be comfortable? Yeah. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said something else, didn't he? He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. And this is the path to growing in holiness. Our subject for today, fasting to grow in holiness. The Christian life is actually one of self-denial. That's what taking your cross up means. That phrase self-denial isn't particularly popular in a modern society that wants everything today. You know, you can order something on Amazon, on Prime, you get it the next day. You can order something from McDonald's, you can go and pick it up straight away. You know, in our society today, we're much more comfortable with the idea of having what we want than denying ourselves. But it's only by following Jesus' example of the cross-shaped life of self-denial that we can be formed and transformed into the people pervaded by love, joy, and the peace of Jesus himself. And is that what we want? Do we want that Junction 10? Do we want to be transformed into people who are like Jesus? Do we want to be free? Do we want to have that peace? Yes, thank you. Well, let me tell you that fasting is one of the best practices that we have to cultivate a heart of self-denial and holiness in our overall night, in our overall life. And I hope, Junction 10, we want to be holy, don't we? And if you don't yet think that you want to be holy, let me quote Leviticus 11, verse 44, which says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. So God's telling us, he's inviting us, he's commanding us, be holy because he's holy. And we are made, Junction 10, in the image of God. He has made us to be holy. It goes on in verse 45. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I'm holy. God knows what we like, doesn't he? He can't tell us once. He has to tell us twice before we get it. So be holy. As followers of Jesus, we need to grow in holiness. Now, where's Joe? Last week, oh, there he is at the back. Hi, Joe. Last week, you talked about the body and embodied holiness. And I wanted to just unpack a little bit more about what's happening in the body when you fast. Because I think it's really interesting when we start to look at this. Because the nurses and the medics in the room will tell us that there are three distinct physiological stages that your body goes through in fasting. And Andre, I know you're a chemist, not a biologist, but this might be something to do with the chemistry of your body. In the first 4 hours after eating a meal, your body is feeding on the energy from the food in your stomach, and that's digestion. It's where it's burning, it's turning the food into glucose, it's burning glucose. Around 11 to 16 hours in, say, let's say if I fasted at 6 o'clock in the evening, then by around 10 a.m. the next morning, my body's going to switch from burning glucose for energy to burning fat. And this is a state known as ketosis, which is incredibly good for you. Yeah? Yeah. Then around 16, more like 24 hours later, your body shifts into a state called autophagy or autophagy. And this is a word that literally means self-eating. Your body begins to break down, and but in this case, it really is. Because your body begins to break down and cleanse itself of all the dead or the damaged cells, what some doctors call the zombie cells, which are a type of cellular material that cause things like cancer and aging and chronic disease. So some doctors call autophagy your body's way of taking out the rubbish or taking out the trash. And as a result of the body's internal processes, now let's remember, who created the body? God created the body. So these are God's divine processes. So God designed these processes, and there are all sorts of health benefits to fasting. It can cleanse your body of toxins. It can increase your metabolism. It can reduce your weight. I haven't had that benefit yet myself. It can lower your insulin levels. It can lower inflammation. It can lower blood pressure. It can strengthen your immune system. It can reduce your heart rate. It can slow aging. I'm looking forward to that one. It can protect against or possibly reverse many diseases such as diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, and a range of neurological disorders, including, they say, Alzheimer's. So it comes as no surprise that medical experts have been touting the benefits of fasting for a very long time. And just on that basis alone, regardless of our faith, we ought to be thinking about fasting. But your body is an integral part of who you are. And whilst there are physical proven benefits of fasting, our holiness is a whole body, mind, soul, spirit thing. And when we, as followers in Jesus, engage in fasting as a spiritual discipline, then the ultimate aim is to heal all that prevents us from conforming to the will of God and the image of Christ. So whilst fasting might have great physical healing benefits, in a spiritual discipline sense, it has got many, many spiritual healing properties. Or to put another way, it's to grow in holiness. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We heard that on week one. And fasting is one way to bring to the surface and to deal with sin in our lives. Sin that we're often unaware of, being able to break. Sin is the thing that gets in the way and separates us from a full relationship with God. Now, the Bible says we should offer ourselves as living sacrifices. In fact, what it says is, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. There's that word holy again, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So if we're to grow in holiness, what is it? What is holiness? Because holiness is a bit of a loaded word. But a shorthand biblical and theological way of understanding holiness is using the word wholeness. God says to us, be holy, because God wants us to be whole. He wants us to be well. He wants us to prosper. And what health is to your body, holiness is to the soul or the whole person. If fasting is your way of purging and cleaning itself of the zombie cells that are killing you, then fasting is also your soul's way of purifying and purging the whole person of self-defeating cycles of sin and shame. Fasting is a way to sanctify your soul, using the language of Scripture, to set it apart as holy and dedicated to God for his special purposes, to nail it to the cross, so that we become more conformed to the image of Christ, so that we grow in holiness. And if you read any of the great Christian writers through the centuries, through the millennia, if you read the theologians, if you read the great pastors throughout church history, what you quickly realize is that most all of them believed that without regular fasting, it's almost impossible to reach a high level of holiness. But you have to train. You have to train in holiness. It isn't something that just happens. It isn't something that when you give your life to Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden everything's done. That's just the start of the process. And I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to use the analogy of dog training. It's not very holy, is it, dog training? But I think there's something we can learn in terms of dog training and holiness, believe it or not. Has anybody watched dogs behaving badly? With dog behaving badly is you've got people who've been owning a dog and they haven't really trained it. And so it's running riot. It's ruining their lives. It's causing major problems. And Graham goes in and he gives them a few disciplines for training the dog. And he shows them how to do it and then they do it. And then at the end of the program, usually the family have got this beautifully well-trained dog. And this dog is everything that they ever envisaged when they first bought a dog. And they've been living with a nightmare for the last X number of years. And this is Betsy, this is our dog. And I can testify that it works. To a degree. People are laughing because they've been to our house. And Betsy's very, very pleased to see you. So I haven't quite got that training bit that gets her to be a little bit calm when people come in. But she is getting better. She'll settle down and she'll be a really nice dog. And she sits and she lies down and she takes food very gently and she doesn't pull on the lead. So we've trained her. I'm not Graham Hall in any way, shape or form. Please don't, after the service, come to me and say, Will, can you come and train my dog? Because the answer is no. However, when I was thinking about this preach, I thought that was a good analogy for how our soul can be, our flesh can be, our inner person can be. That unless we bring it under the right Christian spiritual disciplines, then we're not working on our sanctification. We're not helping ourselves to grow in holiness, which is a lifelong process of training, growth and transformation. You see, don't get me wrong, salvation is a free gift. Okay? You don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to change for your salvation. What you need to do for your salvation, if you don't know Jesus, is you need to repent of your sins. You need to say sorry for the sins that have happened in your life, all the wrong that you've done. You need to come to Jesus recognizing that his sacrifice on the cross and his blood has allowed all of your sin to be forgiven. And you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you go through that process, what we call salvation, then that makes you right with God. And that enables you to have that beautiful, wonderful relationship with God. Doesn't stop there. We're then on a lifelong process of dealing with everything in our life that is getting in the way of us living a conformed life to the image of Christ. And so salvation's a free gift, but sanctification requires effort and sacrifice and discipline. Now, the early church sort of noticed that there were seven deadly sins, and you can go and see what they are. But what I want to tell you is that gluttony is the very first one. And the reason that gluttony is the very first one is that it actually underlies all the others. There is lots of research that tells us that if you give in to gluttony, then you're more likely to suffer from the other deadly sins, and particularly the lusts of the stomach are also related to the lusts of the flesh. And so often pastors who are dealing with people, let's say, who've got a difficulty with sexual sin, will recommend fasting as a way to bring the stomach in line with God's will and to break the addiction of whatever it is that is causing you a problem. Because Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." And that word live there is that word zoe. It means having a full life, having an abundant life. What it doesn't mean is, well, if you live by the living and the dying here isn't about the physical mortal living and dying. It's about the quality of your life. And the thing is, you can't use the flesh to defeat the flesh. You might have great willpower. You might have brilliant, the bigger, important ones for defeating sin and shame. Willpower is not enough. We need to bring the power of the Spirit. Amen. And one of the things, I don't know whether you remember this, we did talk about this last year or the year before. We talked about training, not trying. And the analogy is that boxers and athletes and footballers train day in, day out, month after year, in order to be able to perform at their sport. And in fact, if we talk about a Christian walk, don't we? But when we look through the Bible, The Bible talks about it being a race. The Bible talks about it being a fight. The Bible talks about it being a battle. And so for all of these things, for fighting, for running a race, for battle, it talks about the fact we need to train. We can't simply try. If you have never done any running before and you live a fairly sedentary life, you can't go from sitting on the couch to that marathon just by trying. If you do, you will cause yourself some significant, serious damage. You need to train. And as followers of Jesus, we need to train and find ways to draw on the same power that Jesus did, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, one way to do that is through the practice of spiritual disciplines. And what I would say, if we're not engaged in some of these spiritual disciplines on the screen, it's really hard to work out our salvation in fear and trembling and access God's power. In fact, we're probably, as Christians on the couch, we're probably not even walking with Jesus. And on the screen are 8 practices from Practicing the Way. They are Sabbath, prayer, silence and solitude, and fasting. So fasting's what we're on at the moment. Yet to come are generosity, simplicity, scripture, and living in community. Then there are 11 from Richard Foster's Spirit of the Disciplines, and they're in 3 groups: the inward disciplines of meditation, prayer, fasting, and study, and the outward disciplines of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And then the corporate disciplines of confession and worship and guidance and celebration. And I hope you see that there's a massive crossover between those 2 lists. And I wonder whether, when you look at those lists, whether you think, yeah, I can do some of those, brilliant, I'm doing some of those. What about some of the others? And fasting is one of the best disciplines to draw on the power of God to transform our whole person and to feed your spirit and to starve your flesh. Transforms us towards training, particularly in fasting, transforms us towards holiness. And you know what? I sort of confessed my resistance to fasting, because fasting's one of those things that isn't always fun in the short term, but it brings vast benefits over time. And as we fast, it weans us off the pleasure principle. And the pleasure principle is the immature response that only wants us to do what feels good in the moment. And we hear that a lot in society today, don't we? If it feels good, do it. Well, actually, sometimes if it feels good might be pleasurable in that moment, but can cause us pain and difficulty for the long term. Fasting has a way of reordering our desires. When we fast, we want to sin less and we want to be holy more. And what fasting also does is it reveals the things in our heart that control us. Fasting enables us to be set free in the power of the Spirit. The discipline of fasting is a way to freedom. And fasting draws on the power of God to overcome sin, because when we practice it, fasting transforms me by His power in a way that I cannot transform myself. And as we come to God to give Him our weakness, He comes to us and gives us His strength. I wonder if you could just watch the video just for one moment, please.
Hi, my name's Josh White. Fasting for me, it actually began back in 2007, and I actually was working as a pastor with John Mark, and he came up with this idea to do 7 days of prayer and fasting. So I'd never fasted before, and so the first time I fasted was a 7-day stretch, which was a lot. And I'm pretty sure that I was like the obnoxious pastor on staff who talked about food every day. But the powerful thing at that moment was that it was the first time I discovered that you actually have the power to say no to the flesh. And I went through a season of severe anxiety that was crippling, almost knocked me out of ministry. It actually came to an end when I went away to a cabin on the Deschutes River over in eastern Oregon. And just, I prayed and fasted. And it was in that season of denying the flesh that the Lord revealed chemical imbalances, all sorts of things that played into that time of anxiety. But there was a revelation also of sin, and that was the idea that the church couldn't survive without me. Like, and fasting really creates space for the Spirit to speak to us on things that we might be utilizing, food and other things that we kind of need to lay down from time to time, to allow the Spirit to truly do that surgical work that isn't necessarily fun, but the blessing that comes out of that is beautiful.
Thanks. I just wanted to touch on the demonic, because not only does fasting help us with sanctification in dealing with sin and shame, also it helps us by growing in holiness that we grow in authority. And in Matthew 17, verse 21, the disciples asked Jesus why he, when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, had been able to cast out a demon that they'd been trying to cast out but weren't able to. You can read that passage yourself, but Jesus' reply is this: this type comes out by fasting and prayer only. Now, in the story, in this account, Jesus doesn't see the demon, go away and fast, come back and cast the demon out. Jesus just cast the demon out, which suggests to me that he was already modeling a habit of regular fasting and prayer that gave him the unique position and authority to be able to cast that demon out when his disciples couldn't. And he wasn't saying, "Ha, I cast it out because I'm the Son of God and you can't because you're mere mortals." He was saying, this type only comes out by fasting and prayer. So clearly the disciples hadn't cottoned on to that time. And I mentioned in my early Christian walk, I read quite a lot of books. And one book I read was after Rose Till, our associate pastor. Do you remember Rose? Yeah, Rose Till did a preach. And she told the story of Mahesh Chavda in his book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. And it really struck me. And you know, I haven't got time to do it all today, but in a summary, Mahesh had done a week-long healing crusade in India. And right from the start, from the very first night, an old blind woman came up, led by her granddaughter, for healing. And night after night, Mahesh would pray for her. She'd go down in the power of the Spirit, but there wouldn't be any healing. She still couldn't see. And it was only on the seventh night of praying that she was healed. And Mahesh was puzzled, and he was asking God, why didn't you heal on the first night or the second night? If you hear her, when Mahesh was fasting for a period that God gave him a vision with revelation. And it was like Mahesh was watching a video of those events. And what he saw in the vision was that a demon that looked like an octopus with seven tentacles was wrapped around the woman's eyes. And each time Mahesh prayed and the woman went down in the spirit, one tentacle was broken off. So each time he prayed, an equal anointing, an equal power broke out, but the results couldn't be seen until the seventh tentacle, nearly said the wrong word there, the seventh tentacle was broken. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And I just wanted to pull out of this verse that we are called to participate in his power, but we're also called to participate in his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Wow. Fasting is one way of sharing in power and participation. Sharing in the power and authority of Jesus, but also participating in his suffering. And we have got prayer ministry today over there. If anything that I've talked about today or anything in the worship has touched you, or if you'd just like to pray with someone about your salvation, needing healing. I've been really blessed. I don't always get to do prayer ministry because I'm often serving on the worship team or preaching. But over the past few months, the number of people who've come up to me and said, "Will you pray with me?" And now this situation has been resolved. And I often say, "Yeah, but you were brave enough to come out for prayer ministry. I don't think it was my prayer. I think it was your faith in coming out for prayer. So please do come out for prayer ministry if you need it." So we're gonna close in a minute with Vicky's going to come up and read a testimony from Roy. But just before she does, I wanted to share what I learned. I only did fasting because we were piloting it from practicing the way, and my wife told me I'd got to. That's the only reason I fasted. I had mishaps. I've got a little jar of mints on my desk, and when I'm doing lots of meetings online, I'll have a mint because after I've talked a bit, my breath's not that fresh. So the number of times I was fasting and totally forgot I was fasting, popped a mint in my mouth, went down for lunch, and Vicky said, "You can't have lunch, you're fasting." Oh, I've just eaten a mint, darn it. Or I'd be in the greenhouse, and I'd be sort of harvesting the tomatoes, and there'd be a particularly nice looking one. I thought, "Oh, I'll try how these tomatoes are going." "Oh no, I'm fasting," and I've eaten the tomato. Oh, I remember the once we've got this little strawberry pot. Oh, that strawberry looks so juicy. I know how he felt in the garden now, you know what I mean? And it wasn't that I'm fasting, but I'm going to do this. It was just, I just totally forget. But what I said to Vicky is, one of the things I could have done is pop that mint in my mouth and then thought, "Oh, I've failed. I'll now eat my lunch." I didn't do that. I thought, "Oh, I've failed. Okay, I'll get back on with the program." And what I hope you've heard, we're not pharisaical about it, that we need to train, but we need to have some grace for ourselves. And our house group shared about the difficulties they had, but don't think about the difficulties. Remember, it did get better. It's not an instant result thing. Like any training, it gets better with time. And Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. He commanded it. It was expected. So a few bits of practical advice. If you need to take medical advice, please do before fasting. And if fasting isn't good for you medically, don't do it. Fasting is not eating food. I know we often say, "Oh, I'm going to fast from my phone. I'm going to fast from television." That's not fasting. That's abstinence. And abstinence is really good. But fasting is about not eating food. If you're physically able to fast, the enemy and your flesh will do everything in its power to stop you. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the enemy? Are you going to listen to your flesh? Or are you going to listen to scripture and listen to God? Try to make fasting a habit once a week, ideally twice a week, for a whole day, sun up to sundown. Get at least one other person to fast with you, ideally a small group, do it in community. Be prepared for it to be hard at first. Keep going. It does get better. And so far in this series, the teaching team have been very gentle about the way they've invited you to fast. But I'm going to ramp it up a bit today. I hope you've seen that today, that fasting is really important as disciples of Jesus in growing to be like him, in growing in holiness, in power and participation in his suffering. What I really want for Junction 10 is that we would be more like Jesus, that we would grow more like Jesus, that we would grow in holiness, that we would grow in our authority and power. Because you know what? Our world needs us to be like that. Creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed.
So we asked our journey group to give a little bit of testimony each week, and Roy can't be with us this morning, so I want you to imagine that I'm Roy. I have the height about right, I think. So this is what Roy said. The metalworking machinist finished his precision job, took it out of the machine and presented it to his boss. "All done," he said. "That'll be near enough." "Near enough isn't good enough," his boss answered. "It's got to be bang on." "Only joking," replied the machinist. "The job's bang on." "That'll be..." Do you hope to see, both personally and in the Junction 10 community, from fasting? My reply would be, aim to be more like Jesus and become the person that you are meant to be. Our journey group, since it's been together, we've covered many topics: soul keeping, emotional health, the critical journey, and now practicing the way of Jesus, to name a few. And all of these, when applied and put into practice, have hopefully shaped us into becoming more like the person Jesus wants us to be. So when we were challenged by John Mark Comer's series on fasting, although we were all a little less than enthusiastic about having a go, we stuck with it. And we have begun to discover that it's not just about giving up food. It's about aligning ourselves with the Father's desire that as we fast, we grow in Him. You can fast and you can pray. But when you fast and pray together, it adds another dimension to the whole practice. And as a result, you take a step nearer to becoming the person that you were intended to be. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things He planned for us long ago." So yes, as from now, fasting has become a part of my journey with God. I don't think God looks at us and says, "That'll be enough." He's not that kind of God. He's a God who completes the job and who does it right. And the answer to the second part of the question, what do you hope to see in the Junction 10 community, is really the same as the first. That we all aim to be more like Jesus and become the people that He wants us to be. Then that'll be near enough.
Let's give Roy a round of applause, even though he can't be here. Alison, give our love to Roy. So if we could have the worship team back. We have been talking about our harvest giving this season, this time. Rachel's going to sort of talk a little bit more about that. But just to conclude, so what? So what? Fasting isn't commanded, but it is a rhythm and expectation of followers of Jesus. Your salvation doesn't depend on it, but your sanctification and growth in holiness, in power and participation of following Jesus do. We fast to stand with the poor. That's what we're doing today in terms of our collection. We fast to amplify our prayers. That's what we were doing on Friday at our half night of prayer. And today we fast to grow in holiness. But do you realise they're all verbs? They're all doing words. Offer, stand, amplify, grow. You know, fasting does something. It's not just a ritual or a routine. And if you want to grow in holiness, if you want to see God in a greater way than ever before, then Junction 10, let's regularly practice fasting. Remember this. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. But the cross and the death on the cross is always followed by a resurrection. And that's what we're going to celebrate in communion. Thanks, Rachel.